Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is MC back from MC Anime Podcast. Today I have another guest with me today, YM Nelson. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. So before we get into today's topic, give the audience what you do and where they can find you.
So hi everybody. I am YM Nelson. I am a contemporary romance author and podcaster. My romance novels are right now, subgenre is interracial romance with a nerdy bent. So my main characters may be into anything nerd pop culture, anything from Star Trek to, superheroes. I'm going to be writing a couple of gamers. So I have out now 3 books. 2 of them are in a series. 1 of them is the start of another series. My first novel was The Accidental Swipe. If you are watching, you can see it. I'm holding it up. And the follow-up to that, The Accidental Proposal. I'm working on the 3rd book in that trilogy right now. And my 3rd book, it'll be first in a standalone series, is called Secret Second Chances. And that actually, Secret Second Chances is actually a retelling of some stories that I started out writing and people wanted more. Also host the Nerdy Romantics podcast, which by the title you probably guessed, I talk about romance novels, but I also talk about nerd pop culture and I talk about sci-fi, books, movies, shows, fantasy books, movies, and shows, and romance novels and movies and shows too, because we've had several Bridgerton conversation, so yes.
And then where can they find you if they ever want to look you up for correspondence?
Yes, anytime. You can look me up at ymnelson.com. I am author YM Nelson just about everywhere on social media, Facebook, Threads, TikTok, everywhere, just about everywhere. My podcast is nerdyromanticspodcast.com. But if you're on ymnelson.com, you can find my podcast. If you're on my podcast website, you can find my books. So
gotcha.
Here we go.
We're going to jump into today's topic. It's going to be romantic fiction and relating back to nerd culture. So with that, we're going to try to dive into fiction, dive into literature, and do a twist with nerd culture that you're so good at.
Okay.
So, what is the foreground story to romantic fiction? What is the plot that would need to move in order to be in that category?
In order to have a romance, you have to have 2 things. The first has to be a central romance plot. So, we're going to narrow this down a little bit from what it could be. We'll just say female main character, male main character, but there could be all different iterations. But just for sake of this example, your female main character, your male main character, the whole major central plot of a romance novel is about them getting together or is about their romance. If they're getting together, they're falling in love, their romance journey, if that is not in the book, then there is no book. So the second thing that you have to have is an ATA or an HFN, and that means happily ever after or a happy for now. And that is why Nicholas Sparks is not a romance novelist, everybody, because he does not end his books with a happily ever after.
Oh, so it's like Shakespeare's tragedy. Gotcha.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet is not a romance. You know, it's a romantic tragedy, but it's not a romance. So a lot of that's always controversial. It comes up like it cycles for some reason between readers and authors. For some reason, it's just every now and then you have somebody say, well, why couldn't this book be a romance? And I'm like, you don't have a happily ever after or happy for now. Even Nicholas Sparks actually says, if you look on his website, that he writes love stories. In my opinion, he actually writes what's called romantic women's fiction, which is what I also write as well, because some of my stories do not end or may not end in a happily ever after. So, yeah.
I have to, okay, there's two approaches when I think of happy after or happy right to this moment. I think of Hallmark a lot, unfortunately. Disney. But the thing with Disney is different happy endings. But the Hallmark is there's always, they get back together, they realize that they should just be fine together, or they get married, they finally confess their love, now they're able to live a life. That sometimes you literally, at the end of the movie, oh, I'm sorry for this happened, let's move on with our lives, and that's the happy for now category.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And all of that, is true. And especially with Hallmark, a lot of Hallmark movies, some of them, yes, are just movies, but a lot of them are actually made from romance novels. I know a few novelists that have written books that were turned into Hallmark movies. And yeah, you know, when that, you know, it's all about, you know, them coming together or whatever, and then they may have a moment where they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm gonna break up, but they're gonna end up together and they're gonna be happy.
Yeah, I think I've watched Hallmark to the point where I get the plot line, I understand it, I just don't need to watch it unless it's a very interesting plot, because it's the same thing.
Well, you know, and that's the thing about romance a lot of times. A lot of times with readers, that's what they want. They want to know that this is going to be happily ever after. So I don't have to be sitting here stressed like I'm stressed right now because I'm watching The Night Agent. Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed, y'all. But anyway, it's a totally, totally different thing. But they don't have to be stressed because they know everything's going to be okay. Yes. So it's more like a comfort kind of thing that they go into. And the same thing with a book. If it's marketed as a romance and it is actually a romance, then a reader can go in that thing, you know, with the comfort of, you know, this is going to end well. So, you know, they're reading for how these people get together, right? How they want to see the whole journey of how that happens, because they already know a bad book. It's going to be good.
True. And I typically like different. Well, I think the romantic category I like to read and watch a lot is romantic comedy.
Oh, yes.
That's a really good element that will keep me refreshed knowing that anything can happen, it can be funny.
Yes, that's me too. That's how I really that's an element, the romantic comedy, the funny element. I have to have that in everything I write. I have to have They have to be telling jokes. They have to have something. I mean, something has to happen that has to be funny. Even if it's not just a full-out romantic comedy,
yeah,
it's got to have a funny element to it, because that's kind of how I got interested in reading and watching romance is from rom-coms. I love a good romantic comedy.
True, and it also sells to the characters, and it really does build up. One particular literature that I really like is Fruit Basket. But
really?
It's a romance with a twist, because it gets into supernatural. So it deals with the zodiac signs. So they have the family who are the representatives of the zodiac, and they have a human cohabitating with them for, you know, situational, you know, take him in, that type of stuff. But they have the effect that the opposite gender touches them, they transform into their animal. And then transformation is there for a little bit of period of time, and then they transfer it back. But they have that funny element because they transform into the animal, but they're like that werewolf that basically transforms and then has to pull themselves back up. But it's more of a funny element. That's how they play off. So it's really funny situations that could happen because of that, or although, you know, it's just like episodics. It's really nice.
Oh, me. Oh my gosh, you got to put me on to more of these, because I have to know. I will say I have, it's been a while since I've read a lot of shifter romance, which is kind of is in that same realm, you know, where, you know, one of the main characters is, you know, animal shifter.
Yeah.
What's also big right now? Right. Did you say Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
See, kind of like that. Oh my gosh. Beauty and the Beast retellings right now? Gee, they are. I wish I could do one, because they are. People love them.
Oh,
they love them. Another kind of in that same vein, and also kind of, I guess, too, a little bit in a nerdy vein as well, is people love monster romances right now as well.
Yes, that's a big one.
I mean, really big.
What is it called? I guess, I think of a vampire movie, Twilight. Twilight. Twilight is the classic romance monster stuff. Definitely, like, the first thing I thought of.
People ate it up. I'm telling you. People just loved it. And, you know, there were teams. Like, you know, there was a Team Edward. We love vampires. There's the Team Jacob. We love shifters. And we love wolf shifters. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yes, all right. And, you know, the thing was, you know, Twilight was definitely, I was never the target audience for Twilight, because Twilight, when she wrote it, was definitely for a YA audience, and I was not YA then. But the moms of the YA, which I guess at that time I probably would have been in the middle of that. I might not have been a mom of the YA, but they loved it as much as, you know, the young people loved
it. Label plotline to it.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. And, you know, part of it is, you know, the romance element. Then you've got the whole forbidden element, like, you know, with the paranormal. But then with the female main character, you know, she wanted to be a vampire. So there's that whole, I want to turn into something or be something more. So there's that element of it too, that there's.
But it was also the representation of, yes, she wanted to be the vampire, but it wasn't the vampire until the very last second.
Right. Exactly.
So, at keeping your humanity to the point that, you know, you still are human is a very vital thing that was put into that element. It made contradictions, and it may go back, but then it gave resolve and gave rising tension of foreshadowing, too.
Yeah. And the fact that Edward wanted her to be human as much as long.
And she wanted to be human.
She possibly did.
Well, new bloods are not necessarily the best. They are kind of crazy, and we don't do it on the same chances because of that.
Right. It was so much going on there. So much going on.
Gosh.
But yeah, those are you know, still huge. I would hesitate to say that maybe a vampire romance is not as big as it was back in that day, but paranormal romance in general, because right now everybody's into dragons, everybody's into fourth wing, they're into romanticy right now. So the combination of fantasy and romance is really big right now. So everybody's into that.
Well, there's actually one that could be like a romantic plot line to it, but it kind of reminds me of Spirited Away a little bit. When you say dragons, Haku is a river spirit, but his name was, first of all, he has Sohaku, but part of his name was taken away from him. And the main character interacted with him when she was a child. This is when he was a river spirit that saved her. But the river is no longer existing. So at the end of the movie, she gave back his name that Yubaba took away from him. Because Yubaba was a person that was in charge of the bathhouse. And you were signed contracts. And her power is to strip you of your identity. You work for her in servitude.
Wow.
So.
And this is Spirited Away? Because I feel like oh my gosh, now I gotta see this.
So yeah, they had the resolving tension of restoring his name, also breaking the curse that he had, which is basically true love. If it didn't happen, it would never have broken the curse.
Right.
And so yeah, so she goes out to the sister's house, which is to Yubaba, trying to get the seal back to her, thinking that she caused the curse, but really she broke the curse. So he and Ugo roll back to her, and then they strike a deal. She gets returned back to her family. Her parents get, well, not turned into pigs anymore. They can go back to their regular life. Both humans and spirits are separate.
All right.
So it's not necessarily romantic fiction, but it definitely has an element which has a message of true love at the end. And there was like a happy ending then now kind of feeling too. So I don't know if it necessarily qualifies.
So to me, when somebody says a fantasy romance, then that means the romance is central, right? And all the romance elements. But then when somebody tells me romanticy, the fantasy element is the biggest thing, which I think to me from kind of the way that you're saying it, Spirited Away is more fantasy with a romantic element in it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I call an honorable mention.
Honorable mention. I like that. Yeah. And, you know, and to me, you know, like when we were, kind of were first coming up with our title and everything for this episode, when we talk about romance and romantic fiction in literature, when guests want to come on the podcast, I always have to kind of make sure that what they want, you know, what they want to of the book that they want to talk about is actually in like romance, because a lot of times they have that romantic element. And so when we talk about the romantic fiction or romance element in literature, it's so prevalent. It's so prevalent, and it's what kind of connects, you know, because love conquers all, everybody. You know, I know that sounded a little woo-woo just then, but anyway. But that having that whole romance thread in a lot of literature is kind of what connects a lot of themes. It's what connects a lot of our themes together. It's what pulls a lot of our themes from beginning to end. A lot of times you'll see that romance element in it. And two, that's why romance itself is such a huge genre, and it has different genres underneath it, like paranormal romance, fantasy romance, you know, sci-fi romance, you know, all different historical, you know, all different kinds in it. That's why you see a lot of the romance element in a lot of things.
Yes. And I mean, yeah, it's a side tangent with Spirited Away, but when I said Love and Dragons, it's like, oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. The biggest thing in the book world now, or romanticy in the romanticy world, is Fourth Wing, and there's a lot of dragons in that. There's dragons in that. Yeah. So I said dragons. I'm sorry. I got you off track. I said dragons.
Yeah, I think one of the most recent source I read was Maidsama. It's heavily into, spice of life, romantic, that type of stuff. And it's in that genre where you have ordinary person who needs to get a job, but they're dating the most popular guy at school. And pretty much she's working in a maid cafe and the most popular guy discovers a secret. So he's constantly trying to well, if you don't do this, we talk about this at school and let them know that you work here and all that stuff. Right. So it's a school setting, but they're in a job and she doesn't want to be exposed from him. So it's like this weird dynamic that everything just comes forth when, and the romantic element.
And actually is romance
in that way. They do end up getting together. But he is so popular that he has no women around. All right. So when he meets that connection with the main character, who's secretly a maid, he gets heavily involved. And she actually has a positive influence on him. It's just how it works.
Yeah. That reminds me so much of the movie Made in Manhattan.
Oh.
With Jennifer Lopez and Ralph Fiennes. So, but that's kind of where the entertainment falls, is that the weird dynamic, right? So you have these, especially when one is trying to hide their identity. My gosh. Yes. And so that's the part that keeps the pages turning, right? That's the part that, why people are reading it and just keep reading. That's what makes it not the same.
Yes.
The same book.
Yeah.
Right. Well, or not the same movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Maidsama, it's in the shoujo demographic. So shoujo means girls love. So it literally is a demographic just for romance to play out. Sometimes it doesn't always play out, but
right.
Speaking in that, romance is going to be a genre that's going to follow shoujo. It's just how it's kind of, the demographic will always lead to at least a subgenre of for romance.
Right.
Some kind of spice of life, comedy also gets mixed in, because it's very common. So Maidsama is a romantic comedy because of that.
Yeah, yeah. And also now on my to-be watch list. Exactly.
It's actually not as pretty good.
Ooh,
so I've been
looking forward to that.
Fruit Baskets and Maidsama would... You will love a lot.
Okay. All right. I'm down.
And it's anime, down. So it's a little bit.
Oh, gosh. You didn't. Oh, you sold me now. You sold me now.
It's an actual anime as well. I was reading the manga, so I was actually reading literature and like gothic, romantic.
Fiction. Okay. Okay. So it is. Yeah, it's actually fun. And see, so this is kind of another reason why I like the connection or the intersection between nerd pop culture and romance.
So yeah, pop culture does have a lot of intersectionality crossing over. And what is your experience with that, as a romantic nerd expert?
I like that. Romantic nerd expert. So much. I'm going to steal that. Oh my gosh. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say. You always
like some custom titles. They always love it. So
yeah, it's great. You're good. You're good with me. But yeah, at first when I kind of first started thinking about publishing my writing. So this has been 10, 15 years ago. When I first started thinking about publishing my writing, I did not see that intersectionality, right? But it was definitely there, because from being a kid and loving X-Men, and being an older kid and getting into Star Trek, I started, you know, really watching Star Trek at Star Trek TNG. And everybody knows I'm a fan of, you know, just a total obsessed nerd with TNG. But TOS, the original Star Trek, is a little older than me. It predates me. So I don't have as much, you know, whatever with that. But TNG and on, I kind of know. But
The Next Generation.
I'm sorry, I kept saying TNG. I need to say The Next Generation.
But The Next Generation, because I'm just going.
Yeah, The Next Generation, DS9, Voyager. Those are the ones I really know well. You know, the new ones that they have on Paramount Plus, I've been keeping up with those. But even with, you know, with these elements or with these different genres, you know, Star Trek is very much and Star Wars and all that very much in sci-fi land. You know, X-Men, Marvel Comics, DC Comics, very much in, you know, comic book, you know, animated sci-fi. You know, and then you got your Lord of the Rings, your Game of Thrones, you know, very much in fantasy world, but there's always a relationship dynamic at some point in all of these. And as I started writing to publish, not just writing, but writing to publish about 10, 15 years ago, I started noticing, hey, there's a reason why I liked this as a kid. You know, I loved my Babysitter's Club books, which were a fluff and would fall right into your whole romantic comedy, Hallmarky, whatever. It would fall right into that in the kids' realm. My Sweet Valley High books, that they're total Hallmarky, you know, teenage fluff romance. But I'm also going to X-Men and I'm looking at the love triangle between Jean Grey and Wolverine, you know, the Cyclops.
Lasers and Scott.
Right, exactly. I mean, total love triangle there. I mean, that's a romance trope, y'all. You know, and then when you've got this whole second chance romance between, you know, Deanna Troi and Will Riker on Star Trek The Next Generation. I mean, come on. There is a romance element in all of these things that we normally think of as nerdy. And so I wanted to, you know, actually write that in my stories. You know, these people have to have interests. They have to have common ground. They have to have something. Why can't they, you know, both be, you know, Star Trek nerds who meet at a Star Trek convention, right? So that's one of my free stories that's out there. Why can't they both be gamers? Oh my gosh, I grew up on Nintendo.
Oh, I love Nintendo. Pokemon, I was so funny.
Legend of Zelda, are you kidding me? I mean, that was my day. You know, so why can't this happen in a romance novel? And, you know, so that's kind of how I've been building my book business, you know, since then. At first I started the podcast. So where I first really started to explore this was on my podcast. And I started that in 2020. And I wanted to talk about audiobooks, you know, romance audiobooks, but I also wanted to talk about, you know, nerd pop culture things, specifically MCU. MCU was kind of at that point, 2020, they're coming down from the Infinity Saga and all of that stuff. They already introduced all of their main Avengers characters and things like that. And you know, things are happening in the MCU. And as a person who grew up on X-Men, I knew that Marvel and X-Men is part of Marvel. So it's like, you know, you're kind of wondering, you know, how is that going to work out? So I wanted to talk about all that stuff on my podcast. And I thought maybe there are people out there that like to talk about all this stuff too. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and I started marketing my podcast as Big Bang Theory with romance novels. But actually, it's just Big Bang Theory, because if you think about it, they were all nerds, but they all had some kind or were trying to get in relationships. They were either trying to get in relationships or they were in relationships. You know, they were in love. I mean, you know, Penny and Ross. Who's the other guy? Not Sheldon, but anyway, Sheldon had a girlfriend, y'all, and Sheldon was like the biggest
nerd
on the show.
Both friends, but it was just like this weird dynamic of who's gonna get what, and you know,
right?
Cole with grandma, that was interesting. They were all nerds, and you know, the guy that's like super free, super out there, and having all kinds of relationships. He was representing a trope too. So,
right? Exactly. So the intersection is there. Whether it's played up or not is a different story. But it's there. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to be here. And I know people are here. I'm just going to just keep mining this until I find my people. And so slowly I've been finding my people. But also what I've noticed, especially with contemporary romance right now, is that there are some bigger authors who are writing nerds into their stories, especially, you know, with different kind of social dynamics and other things that go on. There are, like, for instance, there's this book called The Love Quotient. It's by Helen Huang. And her main female character is a math genius. She's a straight out nerd. Allie Hazelwood's first kind of big romance book, contemporary romance book that she wrote, The Love Hypothesis. I mean, those people are in labs, you know? The girl is working on her doctorate. I mean, and they're in STEM. I mean, so it's, you know, there are nerds coming up in romance novels. And so I'm like, well, I'm not the only one that's out there. I just think that...
I think nerds is a very safe bet for romance. Here's the reason why. Want to be have the ability to love, right? But sometimes they don't know how to go with love. All right, so they might be socially awkward. They don't know how to fully understand someone. They might be this super genius that might understand their particular profession, but when it comes to dating, they're in shambles. So it really works like an interesting dynamic when a nerd has these weird quirks to them that they have to navigate in order to have love, which is pretty much universal when finding love anyway. But when you have a football onto it, it's very specific to them and what that character is established in the forefront.
Yeah. So, you know, everything that you're touching on there, it's true. That is why a nerd finding love is a safe bet. You've got your character pretty much a specific. You can make it the character as specific as possible, but at the same time, very relatable.
Yep.
Right? Because everybody's had that moment where they're socially awkward, right? Everybody's had, you know, a moment where they just didn't come off exactly right, where they weren't as suave as they could be, right? Or they didn't relate to whoever as much as they could. So seeing that, you know, in a character is you know, it makes the reader feel they can relate to the character. But also as a writer, you have a template that you can do what you can build on that, right? There's not, you know, there's There's the nerdy, there's the awkward, so you can have them paired with somebody else who's also nerdy and awkward. And how does that work out? Are they going to be able to, or you can pair them with somebody who's not nerdy and awkward, who's very suave, and, you know, or, you know, it can be somebody who is a genius and somebody who's not a genius. How do we work this out? What is that dynamic going to look like? What is that dynamic going to be like? There's a lot of things you can do when you have at least one nerdy main character. And then, like I said, there's that whole interest level, which is kind of where my books kind of land or have been landing. So my characters themselves may not necessarily call themselves nerds, but they have nerdy interests. Like, you know, well, in Secret Second Chances, they are nerds. They call themselves nerds. Yeah. But you know, in the Accidental Swipe and the Accidental Proposal, they're not nerds, but they have nerdy tendencies. Like my female main character, she geeks out over, you know, 80s TV shows and 80s movies. She loves them, right? She geeks out over them. My male main character, he's a gamer. That's what he does for his downtime, you know. So, you know, there are nerdy, I'm at the nerdy tendency part, but yeah, I can also see that main character nerd. It's a great template. It's a great character template. You can do so much.
You know, the story, flesh out the background.
Yeah.
Focus on the insecurities. Like, they have insecurities. Why not just tell them what they are? You know,
right?
It's definitely interesting. I've seen it multiple times. And, you know, they get nervous. They might overthink the situation. They'll be an over Anna. They might just say something like, did I just do that? Like, and then it's like, oh no. I need to puncture numbers and AP statistics and how to get the best solution. I don't know. Like, whatever.
Which is exactly what Helen Huang in the love quotient, that's exactly what she does. Yes, that's exactly what she does in there. She's like, she's so comfortable with numbers and statistics that, yeah. But that's what she does. But yes,
yeah, it's a lot of it. And that's something that can be done. But that's typically specific interactions. But I think in our reception of what love is just messy, you know? It's not always one-sided. It's always so different. There's different dynamics. In romantic fiction, there is some other deeper genres. We're just talking surface level, but it can get messy. They can get so complicated, you just don't know what to do.
Yes.
Unquiet love, how you deal with someone that loves you, don't love you back, and then eventually you'll love them. Like, do you have an ex, and you're trying to get back with the other ex, and you made a mistake, and you should have been with this person? It's just different plot lines.
Yes. And even with a lot of... you know, because I know a lot about contemporary romance because that's kind of where I write. But especially nowadays with a lot of contemporary romance as well, the love part is messy because the character part is messy. And a lot of what I'm seeing is characters relating and characters dealing with some life stuff. And how do I have a relationship with this life stuff going on? So they do get deep. They do get deep. And a lot of contemporary romance these days are actually tackling, you know, bigger issues and showing people relating to each other with different issues, you know? How do I deal with, you know, this person who has this or this person who's dealing with that or you know, how are we getting together after, you know, we were together before, but now we divorced, and how do we get past this, and what kind of trauma happened? So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of surface level with love just being messy. And then now there's a lot of even tackling deeper issues with romance. So that's kind of what's going on in the genre right now, what's going on in romantic fiction right now. And the perception, I will say this, the perception is that romance is just, you know, and I've already talked about, I like my fun. I like my fluffy. I like, you know, people being in love and getting together and cuteness and sweet. Yeah, I like that. And I think the perception there is that, you know, romance doesn't have substance. But these days,
man, there's plenty of substance in it.
Plenty.
You get into the story.
Yeah, plenty.
There's a reason why Hallmark is still here. Like, very specific movies I would watch on Hallmark just because it's like where I've seen it. If it's not like a film director or photo shoot or some other, like I don't need to watch another King or Love in Scotland or like I've seen those. So pretty much it's like for me, I like plot. I like something else than just the love. I don't mind just the love if it's a really good story. But like having something else to tell the story plus the love or navigating the love with the twist is what I like. So,
and you know, and as a romance writer, you've got to write that. You've got to have something else. You've got to have something else.
Because they're really good at explaining a complex relationship.
Yes.
Like, not a lot of people can, like, just write a complex, straight relationship, splice of life type of style or drama. Like, that's kind of hard sometimes. So,
right. Especially with nothing else going on. Something else is always going on. Because the life part makes the conflict a lot of times.
You know? True.
And makes the plot, you know, a lot more interesting. But yes, I mean, you have to have something else. So that's why the whole perception that romance is fluffy and doesn't have whatever is that's bull.
That's what it is. So this is a great conversation. What is something that has not been said, we haven't mentioned, that you want to discuss with the audience for closing arguments?
I would love to have the audience pick up a romance novel by somebody that they haven't read.
Okay, interesting.
Because there's so way, and you know, I'm just gonna say that, right? I'm not gonna necessarily say, you know, diverse or anything like that. I'm not going to say that, even though I am big on that. That's for my podcast. I'm big on that. But pick up a definite romance, a category romance. Like, if you're going, wherever you're going to find this book, and go to the romance section and make sure you're picking up a romance by somebody you've never read. So, yeah. That's my call to action for the audience for the closing. And two, on the other side of that, for all of the nerds out there, think about your favorite nerdy, whatever it is, Battlestar Galactica, you know, X-Men, whatever, you know, Batman, the Penguin, whatever it is. And see if you can't find a relationship or a love story in there.
Yeah,
you will.
Love is all around us. It's a universal theme. It's an archetype. Love conquers all. So when you really think about it, you know, maybe we're not always star-crossed lovers like Romeo and Juliet, but it Everyone has their own story, what love means to them. So that's what I can give. So with that, that closes romantic fiction and its relation to nerd culture. Ryan Nelson, thank you for being here. And where can they find you? Because we said at the beginning, but they want to know more.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, if you do want to know more, I am at ymnelson.com. My podcast is Nerdy Romantics Podcast, and it is at nerdyromanticspodcast.com. And if you are loving social media, I am author YM Nelson just about everywhere.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. It was lots of fun having you. And with that,
thank you.
This concludes this episode. Thank you for being a guest. It was so fun having you. And I had fun. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.